It has been 40 years since singer, songwriter, performer Garland Jeffries landed on FM radio with a song that became an anthem of sorts. Turns out that was just the beginning for Garland Jeffries. Some 13 albums followed, full of rock and roll and blues and reggae and more. Mr. Jeffries turned 70 this year. He has a new CD out called Truth Serum. His voice is as soulful as ever.
Truth Serum. Pour that liquid down a man's throat.
And he joins us from station KUOW in Seattle. Greetings.
Greetings. Very sweet to be here.
In the mid-1990s, you did step away from the business for really better than a decade, and it was prompted by the birth of your daughter. Her name's Savannah?
Savannah Ray, yeah.
You scaled your career way back to be home.
Yes, that's exactly what happened. My wife said, let's have a baby. I said, yes. She was 38 at the time, or maybe 37 at the time, and Savannah was born. We almost lost her. But it worked out really well. And I didn't have the best of upbringings by any means. And here we had this child, and suddenly I was taking her to the nursery school every day and enjoying everything about it, singing on the way. As she got a little older, we would sing on the way to nursery school. And it was just delicious.
So throughout your career, and on this CD, you've written songs about race and about your own racial identity. Can you give us your own quick history, your lineage?
Yeah, it's, from what I understand, it's this. My grandmother was from Puerto Rico, Rafaela. My mother's the daughter of Rafaela and David. David, my grandfather, was black and Indian. My father was a black man from the South. And I'm very light-skinned. My family is a pretty much a light-skinned family. I guess that comes from my grandmother, Rafaela.
So as you're growing up, is your mixed racial identity a source of pride or confusion or insecurity or strength or all of the above? Or
it's a lot of confusion. I was raised a Catholic. We were the only family of color in the Catholic church that I went to. It was a pretty big church. It was unusual. And down the street was the Baptist church, the black church. A lot of the black kids looked at me with, what is this? Who is this? I got that a lot because of my light skin. A lot of black kids like dark-skinned kids. So I struggle with that, my skin lightness. So I grew up in a mixed world very early on. And as time went on, as I went to the high school, in the cafeteria, all the black kids would sit together. I didn't like that. I did not like that, and I rebelled against that. My best friends were Jews that I grew up with. I had some black friends, Eugene Floyd and a couple of other people that I played basketball with. By the way, I'm a very short guy, so my basketball playing was not really stellar or anything like that. I've never been one to want to stick with one kind of group. I like people for people. I love people for people.
Too white to be black. Too black to be white. I'm one of them. It's what I am.
one song you sing about being too white to be black, too black to be white. Describe your approach when writing about race. How do you try to say it? What do you feel is important to say?
Well, like the song Don't Call Me Buckwheat.
Is that about 20 years ago now or thereabouts?
I guess so, yeah, 20 years ago. Don't call me buckwheat.
Don't call me buckwheat.
Don't call me nig, 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 watch that word.
Don't call me nig, 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 watch that word. Don't call me...
It's the way that song came about, and that's a good example. That's me telling a story with very serious information about race, and abusing people with words. And the song, I do this often with songs about race. I write these songs in a palatable kind of musical backdrop. So I let people get into the song before they've even heard it yet. You know, I'm not looking to scare anybody off. I'm not looking to put anybody off. My idea when it comes to race is let's join. We all have something to give to one another.
I understand that while you work, while you write, you're in a chair, you've got your guitar, and then you've got one of those old portable cassette recorders. Is that
sometimes
true?
More than one.
Talk about the process. How do you create a new song?
It's a very amazing technical process. I go out and buy these little recorders. You can't get them anymore, so I have several. And I got used to doing it. Having the little machine there and the guitar nearby, then pick it up and just lay down a line or two, a vocal, and play a rhythm part there, you know, and then I've got it.
Come here, steal my problem.
I have like many, many, many cassettes with all kinds of songs on them.
Are they organized? Are they labeled? Are they...
No, that's the unfortunate thing. They're not labeled. And they're not organized. I've fought with my wife many times over this, and I'm not going to fight with you.
You should see my basement. Radio people collect cassettes, too.
There you go.
but then what do you do? I mean, the song is on there. A treasure is on there. How do you then go back and rediscover it?
Some of them I know where they are, you know. But sometimes, I put some parts down, and I just put it to the side. You know, I'm not ready to go further.
Far away. Far, far, far away.
I've heard the cassette tape version of your song Far, Far Away, which then shows up on this new disc in finished form.
Well, that Far, Far Away, that's one of the songs where I completed the whole song on the tape. And when we went and looked, my wife looked for it, actually. When she looked for it, she found it, and she said, you've got the whole song on the tape. We wound up making a very good rendition of it, and we used it on the album.
That's singer-songwriter Garland Jeffries. His new CD is called Truth Serum. Thank you, sir.
Thank you so much.
This is Weekend Edition from NPR News. I'm Don Gagne.